All right.
Okay.
Meeting called to order at 3:02. Do a roll call. Leslie
Stacey, you're
or
not
she,
muted. You're
Stacy.
muted. No, I can
Stacy.
hear you in my other ear. You're on the other
We
side
can't.
of the wall.
What about now? Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you
Yes.
now.
Oh, okay.
There
Sorry about that. Karen Bounce.
Here.
Linda McDonald.
Here.
Tammy Kraus.
Here.
Kevin Latos.
Here.
Josh Short.
Here.
I'm Stacey Bush on IHLS.
And I'm Leslie Bender, IHLS.
Thank you. We have no public comment since I haven't seen any. Approval of the minutes from the October 10th meeting, attachment 4.1.
This
Everybody
is
had it.
Josh, so moved.
Thank
This
you.
is Kevin.
Okay. We're having multiple seconds. I think I heard Linda, didn't I?
Yeah, and you heard Kevin too. Yeah,
But
we'll take
I'll let
Kevin.
Linda have
Go ahead, Kevin, you can have that. Oh, you're so sweet.
You're not going to fight over it, huh? Okay, roll call, please.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Okay, moving on to share update.
I sent the department updates yesterday. I hope that you got them. It was an email. And do you have any questions?
Well, how close are we to that Aspen? I know I'm not real familiar with that, but it's the new
Discovery layer.
yeah.
I don't know the exact go live date for the first cohort. I want to say that's 6 miles in that first
I
cohort.
think they are. That's what I think Tina told me, that they were first or in the
Yeah,
first group.
we're hoping to have a, I would say sometime around the first of the calendar year, but we probably shouldn't quote me on that because that's not my department.
Okay.
But we have other cohorts to also bring in this fiscal year, so we need to get that one set. And I also think that because this is the first time we've worked with it at all, it may take longer this cohort than the others to get going.
Well, thank you.
I did sign up for the trustee training like pilot, so I'll hopefully have some feedback on that as well
Oh,
next month.
the I lead.
The yeah
The I
for
lead.
Canvas, yeah.
Great, great.
So school and life changes have been crazy. I'm hoping to get to it. I have a couple of days off before the new job, so.
Okay.
All right. Moving on, administrative updates.
Did you
Do you
have any
want to just
comments?
not particularly, no.
Okay.
Moving on.
This is so much easier.
It is.
Open Meetings Act compliance.
No concerns today.
Moving on, committee updates.
Okay, so we don't have a committee update in writing, although that's what we had tried to do. So I left it as we left it on the agenda. And in the future, hopefully, like Linda said earlier, when we're back on a schedule, we'll be able to get those updates from all of you and put them into something and share with the committee in advance.
I
Just not there yet.
apologize. I didn't catch we were supposed to send them in writing. I
It's okay.
apologize for that.
It's the day before, like they would be, yeah. So, do you want to go through those updates? Anybody? There weren't very many committees that met.
I
Personnel,
don't have any.
personnel, and finance, I believe.
I was going to say, I think Kevin's is the only one.
Yeah, finance. Was pretty much perfunctory, and we discussed AMH, continued the discussion, I believe, happened at the last board meeting, from my understanding. So
Yes.
nothing, yeah,
Okay. I'll
nothing new
ask
there.
actions. This is the first time I've been able to make it, I think, to a board meeting ever that I can remember. So I take it was testy.
I don't know. at least yesterday's, I don't know that was testy, it was just questioning the amount of money spent on consultants when we don't know, or there could be a good chance we don't move forward with it. But I really think Rhonda did an excellent job of trying to outline that and explain why. I understood why, just because I've been through a lot of consultants in my life for project. And in the end, I felt like it was understood, didn't you, Karen?
And yeah, I did. I think not understanding the purpose of the consultant was a large part of it. But as you said, Rhonda did a good job explaining, I thought. And
yes.
Whether that takes care of any further questions, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, I would hope it would, because I just felt like we came to a resolution on it, and that in the end there was understanding. But anything is possible.
Yes, we know it is.
Well, I'm glad it's checked out though before we commit to something, you know. So you have
absolutely
to, you have to do your due diligence, you know. So
yeah, and they cost money to do that.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's not like we're committing anything. We're just looking into it at this point. It's right. Information gathering. Yeah. And that's all it is. And that's what the consultant helps with. Yeah. So that we don't make any big money mistakes.
Yeah. And I could see, you know, you look at the price tag, and $28,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But so is well over $1 million.
Yeah, too.
And
yeah,
if we spend, yeah, if we spend 28 to save $1 million, and you know, there's a cost even beyond that $1 million in my mind, because of people cost and time and frustrations if we do it wrong and it doesn't work out, and or even have to abandon it at some point. So, but Rhonda went through all that, you know, with us and with some input, and so, I did. I really felt like it came to a resolution. But like I said, anything's possible.
Yeah, beware.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
And we want to be on the cutting edge and having the most recent material sorter, you know. But and you have to, I wouldn't know, you know, and there's, I don't think you can Google it, you know. You know,
I was wondering if we get far enough that we're actually considering it for purchase, that maybe it would be advisable to let the board members who would like to see one in action someplace. So we know what it is and we see it, and that might make more sense to some of the naysayers who think that it's totally out of proportion for what we need. But only we only need to do that until we get much closer.
If only there were a way we could just get them to see how much stuff we actually move in a day. I think that alone would be enough, but I could get on quite a tangent. So
we'll go there today.
Yeah, we appreciate that you won't.
But, and you know, keeping people in there, I didn't realize it was so hard that people, you can't keep it staffed. You can't keep your sorters staffed. I didn't realize that. So, but it's that way everywhere.
Yeah. And I think that was one person's big question, is about having to let staff go, but then realizing that there is a high turnover rate, and you know, those are low level positions with college students and stuff, and there's a huge turnover rate just
right
naturally in that position. So any case, that was the finance meeting.
That's what it was.
Oh, good. And we were supposed to meet. And hey, is it membership and policy, or is it policy and membership? Because I've seen it written both ways.
I thought it was policy and membership, but I could be wrong.
Well, I didn't want to be writing it wrong, you know.
Oh, okay.
I've been referring to it as policy and membership, but But we
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, we have somebody who we have a possible member coming up. So we haven't gotten the paperwork on that yet. That's why we were canceled. But we have another meeting Monday.
Right.
Uh-huh. So.
Yep. Well, I will be glad when we get back to regular times and places, because I feel like we're upside down and backwards at this point.
Me too.
But it's been rather exasperating, to say the least, and I'm sure it has been to everybody at Heartland. Okay, where are we? Unfinished business. 2024 annual meeting.
So for those of you who were unable to attend, we had approximately 39 attendees. The meeting went 2 hours. It was a full 2 hours. And we had presentations. The first person who spoke was Illinois Representative Katie Stewart. She's like the Collinsville Edwards or Collinsville Glen Carbon Eversville area. She's active on the on higher education and other education issues at the state level. And she talked about the value of libraries and the steps that are being taken to see about improving the funding for libraries. It was also important that she stayed through to the end, because she got to learn about other things that we're doing, and especially about a challenge that are more about a challenge that a library experienced last calendar year. Then Jill Piper, I don't know the order anymore, but the next two presentations, there was both came from our members who received awards at ILA in 2023. So Jill Piper is part of the group that won the Hugh C. Atkinson Memorial Award for Resource Sharing in Illinois, and that's for the work they do on Libraries Present. That's a group of libraries statewide. Jill's the most active member in our service area with that committee that get presenters started during the pandemic, so 3 years. They get presenters that will speak to public libraries and get, about new books they published or other things. And it's very reasonable for the members that participate. And then member libraries can promote those events to their patrons, and then patrons sign up by, I believe they use Zoom. So she talked about, that's why we asked her to come to talk. And because they won that collaborative type award from ILA, she also talked about, though, she just kind of like, I felt like it was the last 12 years of our history, where she talked about other collaborative projects within IHLS, including getting SHARE together, which was a lot of work, right, on a lot of people's parts, the eRead Illinois project. So it was really nice to kind of hear that from somebody else that's involved, but not from one of our staff, because we can beat the drum all day, but it's nice to hear that members see the value in that. And then the next presentation was from staff at the Glen Carbon Centennial Library in their Youth Services Department. So there were three women who presented, and they talked about their experiences with the Drag Queen Storytime in June 2022 and what that was like for them, their approach to putting this program, making it available, how they worked within their library as a whole to make sure everyone else was on, people at the reference desk, people at the cert desk, they were all on the same page about what was going on, keeping everybody moving together. And then when they got to the day of, which, started off with lots of protesters outside the building and a police presence, right? Like how they handled that. And they won the Intellectual Freedom Award from ILA this year. So again, it was, I think it's good for everybody else to learn about their experience. And I think it was that, Josh, I think Katie Stewart said, thank you for your heroism, maybe, to them. And that touched them. I mean,
I only stayed for an hour. I had to duck out. So I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that was her comment, or the general tone of Katie Stewart's comment. And so I think it was good for them to connect with their representative in a different format as well, with a larger group. And I think it helped them. And it's all cathartic, right? When you go through something like this and you talk about it, when you're on the other side of the situation or the issue, it's nice to see that you really did, you know, you got through it, and that people approve what you did or appreciate what you did. And then the last presentation was from Annie Yackel and Leanne Furby. They presented the iLead trustee training portal for public library trustees. So I think we were able to sign up a couple more people for the review cohort that goes through the end of this month. And then I don't remember. I think we're going to go live maybe December 1. And then actively look for participants to sign up. And then, because it's only going to be as good as it's used, and we get feedback from participants on the trustee training portal. That was also good, I think, in hindsight, for Katie Stewart to see what we do as an organization, because we're in her area. We're part of her area, or she's part of our area. But I think it's really important for her to see the leadership that our staff take on a statewide level. So that was all good. I thought it went pretty well. I don't have anything else about that day, unless you all have questions.
It was a wonderful meeting. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. Tina really was impressed too. I'm glad to see her there.
Me too. Me too. Always good to see your old boss, right? Okay.
Yeah, for the hour I was there, it was great. I had to duck out to get ready for Halloween and class. So yeah, I really enjoyed everything that you guys did.
Well, I didn't get to go because I was in the midst of having my furnace replaced. So,
oh God,
fun. okay, thank you. Moving on to 2024 board meetings.
Oh, right. I believe I know why that's on the agenda. Okay. we put this on this agenda as a way to ensure that going forward, board meetings move forward and they don't get stalled or hijacked by any topic. And
well, if I was more on top of my game, maybe it wouldn't be that bad, but.
Well, I think it could happen to anyone.
It's hard when you're split up like that too, though, don't you think? Yeah.
Yes. So I don't know if you all have some general suggestions on how we can move them along. And, but I don't think that the items that we put on our agenda are going to be any less interesting to some folks going forward.
I think on the particular evening that I'm thinking of, I didn't step in when I should have to call a halt to that particular line of discussion, simply because they had begun talking in circles. Mm-hmm. And I recognized that, but I didn't get in there and say, okay, enough, we need to move on. You know, so on. So that was, I feel like that was my fault for that particular instance. And nobody can anticipate when that's going to happen, but, you just have to know when to step in. I will in the future, but, at least I hope I will, but, sometimes those questions, I have had the feeling occasionally that the questions were deliberately placed to create
dissension.
Yeah, good word. Thank you. And that's something else we have to watch for.
Right.
So I wasn't there, so I'm going to guess.
Well, we're glad you weren't.
How late did it go long?
Well, this particular discussion went a heck of a lot longer than it should have. And it was... It began with a question that should have, I think, been answered adequately in one of the committee meetings. Yeah. And this person...
And was in our handouts.
Say, I'm sorry?
And the information was also in our handouts that we had.
Yes. Yes. And this person just insisted on going round and round and round and round and round and round. And I have had instances to interrupt before, and I just didn't do it soon enough. Mm-hmm. But we lived through it, needless to say. But fortunately, one of the board members spoke up and said, I want to make a motion to, you know, take care of this. And I appreciated her doing that because I'm thinking, okay, I need to break in here somewhere. But she did it by going ahead and making the motion. So, and, you know, somebody seconded and we went on. Mm-hmm. And that's what needed to happen. So I really appreciated her speaking up and kind of giving us a kick in the pants to get moving.
So that this can be a learning experience for us.
Mm-hmm.
How will we deal with this? I mean, what in the Rogers Rules of Orders can we say something about tabling it or putting it on the agenda to discuss further or you to interrupt? Not that you're interrupting the person speaking. Because I know you, the way you were feeling, you didn't want to say anything. I could feel it, you know. And of course, it wasn't my place to say anything. But I like the way they followed up with the with the vote. You know, mm-hmm. that was a good way to handle it. So from now on, if we have something like that, what do we do?
Well, I think tabling. Tabling for further discussion or ending the discussion for discussion later or whatever. I'm not sure how you would word that.
Yeah. I was thinking there's a procedural way to handle that, I think.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but
I'm not aware of what it is.
Yeah, is it one of those where you have to, like, is it call to question to end debate? Like, or was there not even a motion to get that going?
I don't think there was.
Wasn't at that time. Like I said, one of the board members just said, I'm, you know, making the motion to accept this. And somebody seconded it and we did the roll call and off we went. Mm-hmm. But like I said, from my perspective, I'm going to have to be looking for that kind of disruption, distraction, whatever you want to call it, and not let it get out of hand because they were talking in circles, finally.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, if it's about something on the agenda, then certainly, yeah, we just have to be aware of it and make the motion, especially if the opinion being expressed is held singularly, you know, by an individual or, you know, possibly two, you mm-hmm. know, the way out of it is we bring it to vote and move on.
Call the question. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's not an agenda item that's being complained about or questioned, then I think the proper thing to do is we table it or whatever to be, put on the following meeting's agenda. You know, so
this isn't on our agenda now, but we can discuss it at the next meeting. Yeah,
something like that. And
we couldn't limit how much time that someone takes to discuss something. Is there anything like that?
I would hate to do that.
Yeah,
simply because there may be times when we do need to discuss something at length. But we have to recognize when that is.
There's also like, I don't know. I mean, I spent 2 years dealing with it, and it's because I know exactly, you know, without like naming names, it's generally just one person and someone with an agenda. Like, I don't come into the board meeting with any agenda but to help the system and help our employees and our staff and our members. I'm not coming in, and this person comes in with that and with what their ideas of how we should be operating are. And that's not, it's about the group as a whole, about the system as a whole. And I think we need to maybe remind people of that more. And I won't be able to be back till January in terms of being there in person. I can try to work something out for this month, but it's gonna be, no, I have class, I can't. But next month I should be good. Or say January. So I'll try to be a bulldog and get things back on track.
Well, any help would be appreciated. However, hopefully I've learned my lesson and I'll be more on top of it. Linda, you could probably see me sitting there squirming.
I wanted to do something and I didn't know what I could do. I didn't feel like I could interrupt.
Yeah.
You're
a board member. You could have, because who was it that did? Sarah? Sarah did.
Yeah.
And, you know, she finally had enough and she was ready to call the question. And that's what any of us has the right to do.
Okay.
If we feel that.
There's our answer. Call for the question.
We have beaten that particular horse to death, which is kind of what we were doing. So, but like I said, I will try to be more on top of that kind of thing. And if you find, Linda, if you find yourself in that kind of a situation, yeah, that's what you're going to have to do.
All right.
But hopefully that won't be an issue this time. Do we have anything else to say about this particular topic before we beat it to death? Okay, hearing none, let's move on. New business, 2024 IHLS bylaws draft updates, attachment 10.1.
Okay, again, I apologize for getting these to you so late and on a board meeting, on a committee meeting day. We did, Ellen and I were meeting with Phil as late as this morning. So to review these, and the what we tried to achieve in the draft bylaws were two things. One to clean up language so that we're consistent. Is bylaws hyphenated? Is it not? It is not going forward. So I mean, that was just like, oh yeah, we need to fix that. And just other language and like position titles and stuff that are in there, and other terminology to clean that up a little. The next thing we did was to take into consideration everything that we've already discussed through the meetings via electronic means policy and the public comment policy, both which were approved at the November 8 meeting, and incorporate those. So in the process of doing that, what got touched the most, or what I feel was touched the most, is the section on anything that had to do with committees. And it's because of this requirement that in the Open Meetings Act, there is a section that allows agencies in Illinois that have a service area basically of over 4,500 square miles to meet, to achieve their quorum via multiple physical or public locations. So we do that. We're doing that now for board meetings. However, that does not extend to committees. So when that language was written and it specifically said Illinois library systems, it only, and Phil's the one that proposed this language in the first place for the municipal league, it only applied to the body as a whole, not to any sub bodies, I guess, or committees of that body. So this is where the committees as we know them, we're trying to make, we're trying to square them up. So what we did was in working with Phil, that there are four committees whose work and the way we've described them in the draft changes is advisory in nature. That would be, not in alpha order, facilities, personnel, policy, and finance. That did mean a little bit of tweaking to some of the finance language, and putting that, the one thing about the budget, moving that up to board duties as a whole. Then two committees, in the way it's currently written, would have to be not advisory, meaning we have to have a majority of that committee in one physical location, not multiple physical public locations, in one, whatever library is, you know, convenient, and to have that meeting or to have to move forward on that agenda. So I realize for executive committee, that's going to be a challenge. And for the nominating committee, who is just getting started, that's a real challenge. The only the only blessing with the nominating committee is that we can approach that as having them only meet, let's say, 2-3 times. And then the rest of their work happens through their staff liaison, who is currently Stacey Bouchon. So, but they still, because of the work the nominating committee does, the putting together a slate, that's an action. That's not a suggestion or a recommendation. That's an action that they're actually doing that. And so as they're getting that ballot together, that's just the reality, unless we do something different with what their function is to begin with. And then with the executive committee, it would also be that the executive committee would have to meet, get a quorum of members in one physical location. So three people have to meet X place. So first of all, none of this would even be approved until at least the January board meeting. So we're talking about for this fiscal year in February, or before February, if we can identify, we as in the executive committee can identify a location that's equidistant, reasonable for three of you to consistently attend, then I think we're okay. I realize that we have folks who are located and are working during the, are working far away from everybody else. And that's fine. That's what's great about our service area. It's just getting, it's just finding something that's convenient for three. Might impact who is selected going forward, because some folks may not even want that role if they know there's this requirement of attendance. Okay. So I just kind of want to throw that out there, but like the work that the executive committee does, that, I mean, right now it says, in the introduction to that section, which is section 10 of article, is it article 6? Yes. It reads, a majority of the executive committee may authorize payment of bills in the event a meeting cannot be held. And then it goes on to say that the duties include conducting business between regularly scheduled meetings of the board of directors, provide for the annual evaluation of the executive director, also an action. And that's it. But I don't, if we remove those responsibilities, the payment of bills, conducting business between board meetings, if we remove that from the executive committee function, then we have to consider whose responsibility that becomes. Does that become the board as a whole? Is that making any, I don't know if that's making sense. We very rarely leaned on that.
We don't even approve the bills in executive.
Not now, but in the past, I believe they did.
Okay.
And I mean, there's always been a little bit of a push and pull between, I think, executive and finance, even with our staff that are working for each committee. Is this an executive? Is this a finance? So this may actually help us in streamlining what we do in preparation for items for a committee agenda. So in looking at the next committee, which is the finance committee, and it can be an advisory committee with some changes, what the changes that we made were to strike, this is under in the same section 10 under A, and then number two under A, to strike that statement that says committee assumes the board of directors as a whole has responsibility to review and approve the overall budget as submitted by the executive director. Granted, right now we don't do that anyway. And Phil's suggestion was just move that statement to further up in the in that section under board duties. I believe it's called board duties of the board, which is section two. So we did that for the draft. We also eliminated number three to establish budget tracking and reporting standards. We're already doing that. I mean, I think those have been developed, so I don't think that it needs to be stated anymore. And then on the other ones, monitor system revenue expenditures, we can turn that into, we can have it just monitoring, not trying to clean that up. And then the next one under reviewing expenditures over $2,500. That's okay as long as the language is review. I think the key word is what is that verb in each of those sections? If it's recommend or report to, that can be seen as advisory. But if it's approve, then it becomes not advisory. And then we have that attendance concern. So those are basically the changes that we made to that section. We did strike to establish criteria for insurance because we are following the procurement rules with that. So, and that's also stated in elsewhere in financial documentation. So, and then the last one, which was, it did read to update the salary schedule. We changed that to review and recommend. Now it's called pay grade assignments. So appropriately based on information from the executive director. That can happen if it's just a review and recommend to the board. If it's not a yes, we like it, no, we don't kind of vote. We're good for that. Any questions?
So
go ahead.
So in the finance committee, we're really not going to approve the bills, the finance report, anything like that. We would just review and Rhonda would talk about it, which she does in the main board meeting. I mean, really, that whole thing is, I hear it twice. And I'm not complaining, but, you know, I hear it twice. So that already happens anyways. I guess, so I kind of look and say, what is the role of the finance committee then? I know at our local library, I'm treasurer also. So the what happens is I just meet with the library director prior to the board meeting and just look over the bills and the report to make sure I understand them, ask questions if there's something I think that we'll want to or will need to be explained to the board, things like that, but I don't approve them. And the finance committee gets together, you know, if we've got questions or we want to make changes to the practices or, you know, maybe look at, a lot of times what we're doing right now is we're looking at trends of our spending over the last, you know, 5 years and things like that, where we're just gathering information. We're not approving anything. We're just looking over stuff. But we don't meet as a regular meeting. You know, so with this change, I guess I'm just like, why would we meet then? And I'm not complaining. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah. I think that's a question for that will pertain to the other committees that we could move to advisory. And to be fair, we tried to move as many to advisory as we could without significantly changing the function or the responsibilities of any of those committees. because they're all good for having in-depth conversation about this item, and this item on the bills, right? Or trends in advocacy, or things that we're bringing forward to the board related to the personnel handbook. It's good to have that first touch with board members, and also to make it available for the public if they choose to listen in on that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it has the potential, and I guess in some cases, to make the board meeting longer. Although I have to say, the trend is in the finance committee, the same things that get brought up and concerns, complaints, whatever you want to call them, often spill over into the board meeting as well, because we want to be heard. And so we don't gain anything there.
Well, and you know, like our executive board, we're just previewing everything, making sure the everything is lined up for the meeting is what I think. And it's more, it really is more an advisory. What are we settling like behind everyone's back? We're not doing any of that. I don't see.
Yeah, the one thing, I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, that's okay.
The big thing we do is we do employ and review the executive director. And that happens through this committee.
And we don't make a decision in that, and we still do that at the larger board meeting.
Yeah.
Aren't we making a decision on salary increase and things like that and making the recommendation, or
nope.
No?
Nope.
No, it's preset, isn't it? You know, whatever rating you get is goes with your raises and everything, right?
Not with Leslie's. It's, we look it over and we talk about it. We kind of develop a game plan to go into the larger board meeting and to deal with those outliers of comments. And we honestly don't, like, everything we do is essentially advisory. We advise, this looks good. We pass it on to the board meeting. Mm-hmm. And in the end, generally things work out, but you know, then you have people who think quite differently still, and it can really throw us for a loop.
So Leslie, are you saying that that executive and finance are both not, they don't qualify with the advisory role?
It was executive and nominating, because we couldn't remove all of the essential functions from executive, and that key piece is the I mean, yes, the ability to conduct business if necessary between board meetings, that's important, but to make the evaluation of the board director or the executive director happen comes from the executive committee. So that is an action. Then with nominating, it's putting together this slate,
candidates.
And like, we really did try to adjust the language on as much as we could of the rest. To make sure that they, to limit the impact on individual board members to have to attend a committee meeting in person. There are other things that we could do to further limit that. You could, I don't know that you would want to, but like have the executive committee meet six times a year, or, you know, half the time that we do currently. I do think that we can make some adjustments in how the nominating committee meets and functions. After talking to Stacey Bouchon, of course, about how we can make that happen with them, to limit their ability. But some of these action items, we can't, somebody, the part of the board has to do that. So where does it happen with the board as a whole? Does it happen in a specific committee, I think is the question. Mm. And I really want us to kind of think about this, and then I will, I know this is kind of wonky to read. I want to clean it up so it's clear what was the recommendation or what changed, and have a cover memo that goes to the board that says these are the things that were we proposed changes to, and here's why. And then throw it open to the board for questions like you all are having. And then my thought is that we share all those questions after the board meeting with Phil. And then he comes back, hopefully in one time, not multiple, but then, you know, we can bring that back to the board. Or actually to you all first in January.
I just wish that they'd just make us an advisory, you know, if we could eliminate anything that, because we meet all the time before our meetings, eliminate the director part, if that's the only thing that's holding us back, because really it's all, you get the things prepared and then you present it to the board and the board decides. Isn't that right?
Pretty much. I would just tell you, if you're curious, the way that Rails does it, they only have a couple of committees that meet anyway. They do not meet regularly. But when they do meet, like their executive committee, and I think occasionally they've had a finance committee meet, where they happen right before a board meeting. And because they have the requirement, like the board meetings at 1, that happens at noon. They have the requirement for their board members that there's a preferred attendance locations, and the first preferred attendance location is generally the Burbridge office, and then other offices, other hubs for Rails, and then member public library locations that are open to the public. I don't think that we could ever get that to swing in a school and I don't think we would want to even try. Schools are different. They can't be open just to whoever comes in. So
right.
But that's how they go about it. And their committees meet much less frequently. Even though they only have a couple, they still meet much less frequently. So you can do it that way. I also believe that with Rails, like the day-to-day of the, we know with the day-to-day of the board, of the operations of the system administrator staff take care of 99%, right? Including hiring and termination, right? That's been happening even before we made that change in our personnel handbook, and then also our, I'm now in the draft bylaws. But that's what I think we have to give up. The other thing that Phil suggested is that one of our board members appealed to ILA's public policy committee to add committees to that language about can achieve a quorum via multiple public locations. We can always pursue that. And that would make Phil very happy because that's what he wanted the language to read in the first place. So, and he's like, I'll represent that. I'll represent that. I'm like, okay, well, let's just wait. And see, but that can also happen as a way to handle this.
I know 6 Miles eliminated committees, but we're smaller, of course.
Yeah, we have ad hoc as needed, but like at Highland, but like because only like Karen and I and Loretta the only ones on prior to COVID for being on the board.
I think Kevin has been on prior to
one meeting. So I guess I thought we would just go back to how we did it before. The way. And so it's really annoying that we can't. I know there's been changes and like, so yeah, maybe I will lean on Ryan Johnson a bit to pass it up the chain,
or no, somebody would have to present it. Yeah, somebody would have to attend a public policy committee meeting. And to that question about why can't we do it the way we did it before, we were operating before, we're all based on not advice from Phil, but advice from Lauren Tucker, who was the previous deputy director of the Illinois State Library. And he was there, merged the four agencies together. And I'm like, you know, we're meeting in person. We're trying, before the very beginning, we did have committees meet in person. I remember going to Vandalia, I remember going to Effingham for committee meetings. Not ideal, but it happened. And his recommended way around it was that as long as we had a system office that was open and posted as the public location for any committee meeting, then we were allowing the public to come in and see. And then the committee members could attend via Zoom. And that made a huge difference for committees. And I think it might even have allowed us to become more active committee-wise, because there wasn't that requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that we didn't catch that or even question Lauren at that time.
I remember having committee meetings by phone, we had our computers ready, and I can remember Juliet presenting. I can't remember which committee it was, but yeah, we did that before. So, well, you guys just figure it out.
I think the point is we want you all to tell us what you want to see going forward. But
the purpose of the committee, in my perspective, is you've got a smaller group of people that are discussing something or working through details or whatever, in order so that the board as a whole, the larger board, don't spend a lot of time doing stuff in the actual board meeting. You're bringing back a report on it, or a recommendation, something like that, and it's ad hoc. That's the way we do it. Now, we're a super tiny library, but that's the way we did it when I was on the school board too, which was a lot bigger. Is the committees met as needed, not on a regular basis. And if it was doing something like that, maybe it is. If I got to drive to a public location, a couple times a year, three times a year, it looks a lot different than if I had to go every month or even every 2 months, to be honest. So that would be my preference, actually. But, whatever we can do that, because I'm not close to any of you. So. In some ways it doesn't impact me, because I would either have to get off the exec committee or there would have to be enough of everybody else to meet at a location. So,
is this one of those where we have to meet all at the same one, or do it as we do for our regular meetings, where if as long as we have a majority between, if I'm at Edwardsville and Karen's at Mount Vernon, and so it has to be all together.
Right. Unless there's a change in that language, that's particular section to the Open Meetings Act that allows library systems over a service area of X.
I have a class with Karen Egan tonight. Do you want me to talk to her about it?
That's up to you. That is up to you.
I'll try to get there early. I will.
Well, I know that's going to be very problematic if we can't get it worked out. Because people won't be able to participate. And this is important work, the libraries and for the state, so.
So to be fair, that's a direction that I think the organizations in the state need to go in general, right? Because we learned a lot through the pandemic. And one of those things is that we can absolutely work and we can function as public bodies via Zoom. So why can't we take advantage of that technology, and extend it in places
I agree.
Where it makes sense. So I We want to do what you all want to do, what the board as a whole wants to do regarding these bylaws. So, and I suspect it will be a very healthy conversation.
Do we have to get approval from the state library on this?
Yes.
Okay.
We do. So if you have, if between now and like say the weekend or early next week, you have thoughts about this that you want to share, if you want to put them together, or you know, send them to me via email and I will share them with all of the committee. Therefore, we are not breaking or violating the Open Meetings Act as far as contemporaneous conversations. And then, like I said, I'll do a much better job with the editing to make it much more clear before it goes to the board.
Yeah, you'd better.
So we are commenting on the Open Meetings Act and the electronic means meetings. And is that what we're supposed to be?
No, the draft bylaws changes that I sent to you this morning.
The draft bylaws changes.
If I were to email ILA public policy about it, I would talk about the change to Open Meeting Act, correct?
Correct. And I can give you the citation if you want it.
Sure, that sounds great. I have 2 days off after tomorrow. I will try to get all my ducks in a row. Because I already told Leslie and I told Karen, I have a new job starting on Monday. And I was going to, you know, if for executive, I could make it work usually an hour. I could just adjust my lunch schedule for that. But I'm working in Missouri. I'm brand new. I'm not going to be able to, I've got it where I can use my hours that I work on Sunday to take off for board meetings. But I'm not going to be able to take off probably to make it to Edwardsville for a board meeting for just executive. And that's even if we can all meet at Edwardsville. So it's just really shitty timing for me to try to figure this out.
Well, would it be how many of us would need to be at Edwardsville? Just
three
at any location.
Three.
Okay.
And I could get to Edwardsville. I thought it was further away from me driving wise than it is, but I could get there. Don't want to, but I could get there.
I understand.
Someplace that would be closer for you and Tammy and Kevin, or
Tammy, I think, exists out in the middle of nowhere.
Tammy is out in the sticks, so yes. Tammy isn't going to be able to get anywhere.
Yeah, my closest is Champaign, and it's 45 minutes. Sorry about the honking.
I think is Champaign about 3 hours? I'm not sure if it's
from Edwardsville. Yeah, give or take, to be sure you have enough time.
Yeah, like when we always went to Effingham, that was something.
At least for me, Effingham.
So, in the chance that we can't get this changed, I don't want to have to step off, but I would see if maybe we could convince Ryan Johnson to fill my space, so then we could easily get some people in Edwardsville. Just thinking of, because that is going to be a factor in planning executive in the future too, like Leslie said, like then you kind of get this little tiny like microcosm of just like, okay, well these are the only people, I guess, ideally, that might stop certain people from ever wanting to be able to serve on.
That's right.
Well, that has been brought up before, that we put many more restrictions on this, and we're not going to be able to find people who will be willing to even be on the board. So
I'm just thinking of like next. No, well, I guess it depends on how elections go. Sorry, I'm putting my foot in my mouth.
It will depend a lot on how the election goes, so we'll just have to wait and see that. Did you get that OMA number you were going to give to Josh?
Not yet. I will. Do you want me to share it with you too?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Not a problem. I just don't have the citation.
Yeah, thank you.
Right in front of me. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Have we done enough on this?
Sure. I think we beat it to death enough for today.
Yeah. Okay. Membership considerations. I know there's one upcoming.
That's that. I've got it.
Big Muddy. It's Big Muddy Prison.
It's a prison.
Yeah.
Big Muddy Correctional Center.
Yeah.
I think I'm not sure if Ellen has it or it.
We
was
do. We have received their paperwork.
Because okay. we had to cancel the meeting on the 6th, and we're rescheduled for this next Monday, the 20th.
Right. Okay.
So do them out of order.
I don't know where Big Muddy is. It sounds like it should be around Granite City somewhere with the Muddy Mississippi, but.
Esther.
Do we need to approve? No.
No, because we haven't seen it
yet. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I am mush this week.
No, that's okay. You will approve it at the board meeting, but not now. Okay.
It's in Ina. It's just south of Mount Vernon.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking was down that area, but I wasn't sure. It's between 57 and Route 37, as I recall. Is that correct?
I know where 57 is. Yeah.
Okay. What's that?
Just south of Rin Lake.
Yeah.
College.
Oh, I know where that is.
Across.
Okay, let's go on to the IHLS Executive Director Review Process. I can hardly wait.
I know. So this is added to the, was requested and voted to be added to the board agenda for November.
Yes, so it was.
My thought on how we could handle that is that Jill and I will draft a memo. We'll send it to Karen, make sure she agrees with all of it. And then that will be, Karen will be sending that memo to the board, even though you may not be there at the November 28 board meeting. And that memo would basically summarize the conversation that Karen and I had maybe a couple weeks ago, I think before ILA, although I don't remember now, we can use Team Flect for Karen to input, or whoever the board chair is in the future, to input information from a survey that we send to the rest of the board. So that survey can be like Survey Monkey, or it can just be a series of questions. And we would start that process quarter two, which is why in the last, why I put together a report for you all for quarter one, so that you can kind of get used to seeing that again. And then with quarter two, I will share that with the board near the end of the quarter, and then, or maybe in January, since the end is in December. And so the board will have that information. The board will, my understanding in the meeting with Karen is that the goals that I indicated on my report to the board have not changed for fiscal 2024, right?
Correct. Okay.
So that part that's not changing. Those goals remain. And then we would, that's basically the process we're going to follow for quarterly. I would imagine that the advantage of using TeamFlect is that then the executive director position is evaluated in the same manner as other positions, because I'm not really distinct from other staff in the organization, with the exception that I have a contract right now. So, mm-hmm. So it would be consistent with that. And that means that only Karen has to be up to speed on TeamFlect, because we learned through that when we had that test that, and nothing wrong with it, but like, to be honest, when Josh is able, because Josh already has TeamFlect maybe from another organization, you could, if you wanted to, see other internal conversations with our staff. And that part makes our staff in general and me also kind, not you specifically, but just the fact that board members, if they had full access to TeamFlect, would be privy to those internal conversations on some level.
We don't want that.
We can't have that.
We do not want that. No.
No, it'll be like a mutiny here. And I don't blame folks. But that's the process that Karen and I talked about following. Did I leave anything out, Karen?
No, that's it essentially, but we're going to have to do something because we're getting too many questions on when are we going to start this? And we have to start it sometime. So,
I'm sure you can't just drag it out till after the next board election.
Well, gee, this isn't working. I don't know. There's a glitch here. I don't know.
I'm not sure that would make much difference.
No, maybe, it won't make any difference.
Maybe I have insight.
Yeah.
I don't.
But we'll just have to go with it. But it since it posed a potential security risk, and I completely understand the staff not wanting the elected board to have access to that. I get it. But believe me, I will not go snooping around in anybody's files.
We know.
But we don't need access or kind of semblance of that, because people will forget what our role is.
That's right.
Which is, and so that just creates chaos.
It doesn't need to be any more muddled than it is at times.
Exactly.
So, we do need to go ahead and pursue this and at least give the appearance of trying to answer questions that have been asked. And I'm not saying we're evading anything either, because we're not, but we have to move forward with this particular aspect. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Cool.
I can hardly wait. Okay. This is the November board meeting agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make that bigger?
So I'm not going to be there. Who do I email my public comment to have it read in to the minutes?
Forget it, bub.
Sorry, I'm salty today.
Okay, can you all see this a little better now, maybe?
Yeah, it looks great.
Well, okay. It doesn't on mine, but that's okay. I can get elsewhere where I can see it.
Stacy just made it a little bigger for you.
Okay.
So that right now, the boilerplate items are exactly the same. It's for November, not October. When we get to communication, at the moment, the only piece that we do have is, and you'll see this in the next newsletter that comes out, if it's at the end of this week or next week, that the Member Day site is live on X date. This is the day for Member Day, and here's information for the sessions, and to find out more, go to the Member Day website. So that's what we have for communications lined up. We will have a staff report. I do not know yet if we'll have secondary employment, but we also will need, I believe, to use the personnel closed session. Do you think, Karen, for what happened on Friday? Or I don't know how much I can put in the document that is attached to the board meeting.
Can you, as long as you don't give a name, can you give a brief explanation of the reason?
In public?
In detail?
I can do it during the meeting itself.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the staff report. Yeah, I can give a general, because I don't mind sharing it here too, if you all would like to know really briefly.
Yeah, go ahead and tell them.
Okay. Friday afternoon, we found out that a driver had left a building keys for a member library in their door and then moved on to the next place on their route. This community, I know for a fact, is really excited whenever the delivery van comes to town and they're like, oh, are my books on there? And I've been when I've done delivery and I've gone to that library, they're like, are my books in there? I'm like, I don't know who you are, but let's let the library check. So they really do use the resource sharing functionality available through their public library. So patrons entered the library thinking that it was open. Then the local police were called. Then,
because it wasn't.
Because it was not open, correct. And then the director was called, and then director was on vacation at the time. So what the director did, and rightly so, they revoked our ability to have access to their building after hours. So what that means, I mean, yeah, when they're not open. So, and generally it's before hours, not usually after hours, but that means that on our end, we have to redo the route for that library, that that library is on in terms of timing, so that we arrive when they're open. And there are other members who have never, there are a few, there's a handful that have not given us access to their buildings, but it is very small. And we can't betray the trust of our members, right? And let this continue. So the individual was terminated as of Monday morning when they returned to their hub. And that's what I was in contact with Karen about on Friday afternoon. So
I don't miss those phone calls. I miss other phone calls, but I don't miss that one. Sorry.
That's okay.
Well,
I
do have another question. Were these keys just the keys to that building, or were they?
I believe so. Yeah. So I think
that didn't make it any better, but
no, it was just that library's keys because they wouldn't have been able to get anywhere else. They weren't even aware of it.
Okay.
So to us, that's a pretty serious infraction. And merited immediate termination.
Well, to my opinion, you took the only action that could be done. We can't have that going on because they trust us with their keys and to take care of business without creating havoc. And apparently havoc was kind of what happened then.
Yes.
Now, for the rest of you, do you think that she can, without giving a name or without giving the hub where it occurred or anything like that, because I know those questions may be asked, certainly wouldn't give the name, that wouldn't be appropriate, but doesn't need to know where what hub it came from either, but just that occurred and that's the outcome.
Right. And that will be, I mean, the name, their location, how long they work with us or whatever will be on the staff report anyway as a termination. So if the board members have looked at that or can look at it at that point in the meeting, then they'll know exactly who we're speaking of. They won't necessarily know the name of the member library, but I think that's inconsequential.
Okay.
I think the fact that we, that it happened in the first place is the issue. So I also don't want to out the library in a public setting.
No, absolutely not.
If the discussion starts to get too deep and inappropriate, then we would just have to call for a closed session on it, which can happen.
Yeah.
You know, well, we have the ability to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that you won't have to, but you never know.
Yeah, I hope it just goes smooth and it can, because one of those are
right on through.
It was totally the right call for Leslie to make. So I don't think it's going to hopefully be an issue.
So we're not going to close session, or is that what you're saying?
I would. If there begins to be too many questions and you feel that a closed session would be more appropriate for those questions to be answered, then you certainly have the option to go to it. Mm-hmm. But
and I'll try to pay attention. And if I feel that it gets that way, Linda, I'll ask the question and even make the motion. So,
okay,
good. Great.
Yeah, we don't want a reoccurrence.
Correct. Okay. And then we have the, I feel like the state library report isn't on this draft, but maybe I'm just seeing things. I could have blipped it off. I blipped it off. So I need to add the state library report back. I think it's between 13 and 14 on this agenda.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then we've got the committee reports. We've got, the partner reports. Right now we have no unfinished business before the board, And then the items for new business are that discussion of the draft bylaws. It is information only. The membership consideration will be an action item. It is not an information item. And the executive director review process conversation is an information item. And then agenda building, public comment, announcements, and adjourn. Are there other things that I need to include?
No, just put the state library back in.
Yeah, they would probably like that.
Yeah.
And we will certainly do that.
We're just a preview, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We're just a preview in the agenda. For this, you are. You're correct.
Now, on the sample one that I downloaded, the Illinois State Library report was on there as number 10.
It was on there. Okay. Oh, it is on there. I'm sorry. I'm used to seeing it somewhere else. Never mind. Just scratch that. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Tammy.
Good job.
I've just been busy editing too much lately. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Get back where I can see everybody. Okay, do we have, well, there's no public comment. Do we have any announcements? If not, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
You have it.
I thought I might. Do we have a second?
Second, Linda.
Thank you. And just as a side comment, Linda, I hope you don't have as much trouble as I have had trying to figure out who's talking, because I only see like the six panels like I'm seeing on Zoom today, and I can't tell who's talking unless they say who they are. And sometimes the person talking doesn't ever show up on my view screen. And that's a little exasperating from where I am.
I could tell you were having a hard time with that. And can we just ask everyone to say to identify themselves before they speak?
Yes,
that would be appropriate.
Can we take roll call if they could actually say where they're at? Because there's often a delay between the yellow box.
Mm-hmm.
I've had meetings. I tried to keep track of where everybody was, and
it's impossible.
I've changed them to all three different locations.
I know.
Figure out where they were. So maybe if we established that at the roll call, it would make it just a little bit easier for everyone.
I think that's a great idea.
Yep. And Linda, I hope you have an easier time of asking for everybody to identify themselves. I always leave somebody out.
Okay.
And this last time it was the Zoom people, I think, who were at scattered locations.
Well, thanks, Karen.
But anyway, thank you.
You're a hard act to follow, you know.
I don't know. The way I've been going.
I said I'm going to remember that call for the question, but I can't say it.
Right? I mean, technically you can. I've done it. I think I did it once just
Have
so
you?
We
Cause
can.
Usually...
It's like you can make a motion, it's just kind of.
Yeah, I never have before in that position.
But
so.
You can just, you know, it's however you feel about it. So,
well,
okay.
I hope everyone has
Kevin,
a good
Kevin
week.
Will have your back.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So good. I will try to.
I'll talk to you guys soon.
I have my little Buster. Do you see my little baby bird?
I noticed.
He was in the hospital last week, and he's just very clingy right now. So.